Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sounds Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched The Wolf of Snow Hollow. The Wolf of Snow Hollow is a 2020 comedy horror film written, directed by, and starring Jim Cummings. It follows a police deputy who begins to break down from the stress of investigating a series of brutal murders of women in his sleepy ski community. Terror begins to grip the small mountain town as new bodies are discovered after each full moon, with all the evidence seeming to point to something supernatural, a werewolf, living amongst them.
Jimmy C. He's a beast. He is a beast.
The man who will die acting.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. He's such a Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
He's got big TC vibes, I reckon.
But not in terms of the I'm going to die doing a stunt. No. It's I'm going to die emoting.
Yes.
Yeah. You just almost expect him to just start vomiting through pure emotion and not stop until he's dead.
Yeah. You know how Christian Bale does like big body transformations for roles and people are like, man, that's got to fuck you up on the inside. That's how I think Jim is.
Yeah,
emotionally, he's just about rips himself apart in every scene that he's in.
Yeah.
And somehow pieces himself back together. I'm worried for him, but I love watching it.
I feel like he's going to have maybe, he might only make 8 movies because yeah. By number 8, he's dead. Like, he just will wring every last drop of whatever out of him. His performances are huge.
Yeah.
It's just like, how are you still alive?
Well, full admission, I have yet to see Thunder Road. It's been sitting heavy on my radar, but it's just sort of one I haven't made my way to yet. So I watched this. This is my first Jim Cummings experience. And I was very interested because obviously I know that he's quite good at just cobbling together a movie through grit and hard work. And I love anyone who's can show you don't need a big studio to make a decent movie. So I was very keen and was not disappointed. I had a lot of fun with this movie. I thought it was brilliant.
Everyone else should check out Thunder Road as well. It's actually, I mean, you could watch them as a double feature. There's a lot of similarities in the character, in the performance. I mean, the Wolf of Snow Hollow is a genre piece with werewolves. So it is different in that regard.
No, it's not a werewolf. That's what he keeps saying. The running gag of anytime someone brings up a werewolf and he just loses his shit to be like, it can't be a werewolf. Just the thing about Jim in this is, the difference between, I guess, this and Thunder Road. In Thunder Road, he's an empathetic character. In this, he's a piece of shit. He's just kind of a dick.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, barely keeping his shit together. And just the fact, like, that scene where he just gets in a punch on with the coroner.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. Well, once you realise he was the guy who threw the rock or the can or whatever, the bottle.
Yeah.
Well, I listened to an interview with Jim Cummings recently about his character. And he mentioned about his character being, like, unlikable. And there was they'll talk about, actually, I'm going to throw out a spoiler warning now because I don't want to censor myself. So if you haven't watched the movie, we probably will spoil some things. So just do yourself a favor and watch it. Anyway, back to the movie. So there was the scene where he's with the deputy or the other officer, the female one, who was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, she's great.
Ricky Lindholm.
Yeah.
So good. Big Fargo vibes from her character, which I love.
Oh, big Fargo vibes for this whole movie, full stop.
All throughout, yeah, for sure. But I loved just like the mild-mannered police detective who's actually just fucking amazing at their job. And like behind the scenes, behind these big personalities, he's actually just getting the job done.
Yeah.
I loved it. But yeah, so the scene with her in the car and she's trying to be quite supportive to him. He's been a dick basically throughout because he's an alcoholic. And she puts her hand on his leg and we kind of get a little sense of, oh, maybe there's a romance there. And so apparently there was a cut where instead of just walking out of the car, which is what he does, she's like, maybe you should start acting like a sheriff, like you're supposed to. And he's like, maybe you should get your hand off my leg.
Oh.
And basically, he loved it because he's like, yeah, this guy is a dickhead. He's an alcoholic. You're not, you're like, you people aren't nice when they're under the influence and stressed out and all this sort of stuff. But basically, everyone he showed it to is like, no, that's the tipping point where he becomes too unlikely. Yeah.
It's probably because of how good her character is.
Yeah.
And I mean, he could be a dick to anyone else in the movie and it's like, okay, that's okay, mate.
Yep.
But to her and it's like, whoa, you piece of shit.
Well, she's the one who puts it all together. Like he doesn't work. Like she's the one who actually solves, she realizes who it is with that final phone call from the victim where the guy's like, oh, you left this like yarn picker.
Yep.
And she's been going through those notes and is like, oh no, I know exactly who it is. He's going to that guy's house to return shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. I really liked her character and the way she was just doing, you know, sort of the old school police work. But I also did love that he stumbled upon it as well and that he became, I feel like, a better detective across the movie. Like even when he did realize the coroner was the one who threw the bottle, where at the start I feel like he was so preoccupied he never would have caught that.
Mm. Yeah.
But it just cost him kind of everything.
Well, because it's interesting that he's become a better detective, but he's no longer a cop by the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Because he's just, because he says, I'm just working on behalf of the sheriff's department when he's handing back the items that belong to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he gets spat on and it's fat. Like, there's some incredible stuff. Like, so to balance out the horror, there's my favorite scene in this is the scene that there's two moments in this that are my favorites that I think just typify who he is as a character. The first one is when he comes into the storeroom where the dad's getting checked out by the EMT.
Yeah.
And he's like, see, I'm fine. I know, fine. And he's like, is he fine? He's got a heart murmur. Fuck! And he just loses shit. And the dad's just yelling like, hey, no, he's lying. He said 30 seconds before you walked in that I'm healthier than ever. Like...
And his introduction, the introduction of that character as well, I really liked in the AA meeting, where he actually doesn't present angry at that moment, but he's just sort of a bit weary and tired, and he's sort of saying, I've got anger issues, blah, blah, blah. And then when those anger issues come out, holy fuck, and that's when you're like, Jim, slow down, buddy.
It's so good. And the other bit that I love of him with his anger issues is it's split over like two scenes, but it's a scene where he calls the deputy, the other officer out to the snow to beat the shit out of him.
That's the funniest bit in the movie. When the window just goes up.
Yeah.
it's very, you're right, it is very Fargo meets like a horror wolf movie where it's just a bunch of people who are just not quite prepared for a situation and they're all dealing with their own shit, and the person who's got all the responsibility cannot handle anything.
No.
Like, he fires, like, three people over the course of this movie. Yeah.
And, another thing that I like that it's, like, this nice analogy throughout it, which is, of course, is, like, well, for a werewolf, they show up once a month, where once a month someone loses control. They cannot hold back. And then... obviously, that comparison to alcoholism, where maybe not once a month, hopefully, but like once you start, you cannot hold back and you become a monster. Like drawing those lines was really good because you're like, oh, this is some pretty serious sort of matters. And again, in that same interview I was listening to with Jim Cummings, like he said, yeah, we really wanted to hit that hard because it isn't pretty. And like, so when he loses, when he snaps and he's like angry, and then when you see him actually start drinking and he really like that one quick shot in the kitchen and he smashes the door to the oven and you're like, fuck, this is pretty intense. And I really like it because he's become a monster in that moment, much like the werewolf. Like, really great stuff.
Him chugging that bottle of Listerine is pretty... Like, at that point in the movie, everything's kind of fallen apart and you get that heartbreaking scene where the daughter has to put him to bed and she's crying at him, being like, you're okay, you're just depressed, you'll be fine in the morning.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm a bad fuck. Like, just, there's a lot happening.
Yeah.
And then you get... Basically, even though he doesn't completely resolve all of his issues by the end of the movie, he is taking control, which I think is the difference between him and a werewolf, is that a werewolf is out of control. But you have that beat at the very end where those guys are talking about all the new hot girls on college campus, and he overhears it, and he stops, and you think he's going to turn around and beat the shit out of her, but he takes a breath and just walks away
because
he
trusts that
she's going to be okay. And
Yeah, that was really good.
The movie kind of reached a point for me of... it's building up. He's quite unlikable. But then you get to the moment where he breaks down about his dad and how he's just every like he can't sleep at night. Every time the phone rings, he thinks it's going to be someone telling him that his dad's dead or his dad's in hospital. And that's when I'm kind of like, ah, you're still a dick and it's not really excusable behavior, but I get what's going on in your head now a bit better.
Yep.
And from that point on, I liked him more. But yeah, he does go down a dark hole after that. The two strongest scenes, I think, are the two with his daughter.
Oh, yeah.
The one where he saves her initially and then she just lets him have it in the street and then ends it with, take me to the hospital, I have a fucking head wound.
Yeah.
Like, and you can see there's a moment where he doesn't want to leave because he knows that the thing that he's after is like just down the road.
Yeah.
Also love that the movie, you spend a lot of the movie being like, like, it can't be. Werewolves aren't real. This can't be happening. Can it? And then it drags it out to the point where you're like, fuck, well, maybe it is. And then it's like, oh, no, you got me. Good movie.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the fact that we see the monster pretty early on and you're like, oh, well, fuck me. Okay, this is a werewolf. Great. But like you said before, Tom, we've also got him the whole way through going, of course it's not a werewolf. And then even Ricky Lindholm's character is like, no, of course I don't think it's a werewolf. Like,
yeah, that, get real. That scene in the car where he's like, Do you think it's... She's like, no, of course not. Like,
yeah. And I love it because, like, it is literally telling us, the audience, it's not a werewolf, guys. But we're like, no, well, it is. I've seen it. It's a werewolf for sure.
Of course it is.
It's eating people, you know.
Yeah.
Very good. Yep. Very good. And yeah, I agree, cunts. It got me. So when the reveal came that, no, of course this isn't a werewolf. This isn't man. This is just a psycho, a serial killer, really, with a weird wolf fetish and wants to dress up as a wolf. I'm like, oh, that's very good. Sneaky Jim. You bloody got me, mate.
And you feel like a bit of an idiot.
You do.
Because you're just like, oh, no, you got me good.
Yeah. They do that thing where they tease that it might actually be a werewolf when they lead you down the path that it's that junkie guy with all the dogs. And you're like, maybe he's a werewolf. No, he's just a junkie.
yeah. Good. And like a good red herring as well for that. Like, and that's what, like, that was clearly the purpose of that junkie is like, oh, here's a little red herring for you. So you're like, well, it's a werewolf. Maybe it's this junkie. Maybe they're both one and the same. The junkie is a werewolf. But you're not actually really getting any of the answers to the answer to this case is. So yeah, it did well as even a detective story. Meanwhile, there's a werewolf story taking place and this guy's having an emotional breakdown throughout the movie. Like, really had quite a lot going on.
Yeah.
And it's all under 90 minutes. There's heaps going on. I could see how some people would be a bit probably put off by the real sort of mash of genres that's going on here. There's just so much thrown at the screen. Mm. It worked for me though.
It's pretty tight too. They go through a lot in a short space of time. There's a lot. And the script, what I love about this, and I think I've said it to you, Sean, but is that we know that Jimmy C is a big time actor, but the writing in this for me is so tight.
Yeah.
And the jokes and the way it jumps scenes around, so everything's kind of a little bit chaotic.
Yes.
Particularly when he starts drinking and it just keeps showing different scenes of him drinking. You're like, wait, is this still the same sequence or is this the next day? When he shows up at the police station and the woman's like, your car's in the middle of the road, would you like me to move it for you?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to draw on that too, Tom, where I don't know if it was like the editing or the directing or a bit of both, but yeah, those time jumps. I really love that. Like the one that I first sort of noticed was when all of a sudden we just had this smash cut to his kitchen and we're slowly panning up to this cupboard above the oven or whatever it was. And you're like, then we just go back to the normal scene. You're like, well, what's that about? And part of me thought, oh, maybe that's where he keeps the liquor. Mm. Anyway, but then the scene keeps going. You kind of forget about it. And then we get another one because we're getting closer to it. And we know he's more stressed now. You're like, oh, that's fucking definitely where he keeps the liquor. Like, that is danger. That is him. That is his full moon sort of thing that we just saw, you know. That's the thing that's going to turn him. So, yeah, really great editing. Was Thunder Road the same? Did it have the similar sort of style to it?
No, it's a bit more linear, I feel, Thunder Road. Sean, I can't remember. I haven't seen it for a while, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't jump back and forth. It's pretty tight, but it seems it literally just follows the sort of progression of...
Yeah, I think it's all just told across, what is it, Tom, space of a couple of days, I think. It's very linear.
Right.
I like this.
Okay. I like sort of showing casework, but then cutting back to like him sitting at a funeral and being yelled at by the family members and things like that. It was pretty powerful stuff.
Mm. And even when the attacks, the werewolf attacks are taking place... And so you've got this quite horrific scene unfolding and then it keeps cutting back to just normalcy. And no one is knowing that this woman is dying right now and that she's like fighting for her life. And you cut back and get a bit more gore and then cut back to just the drama. Yeah, really, really effective. And one other thing I did want to talk about as well was the use of comedy. So again, I haven't seen Thunder Road. I know that it is that drama comedy. I've heard enough about it to know that. But it played really well in this, again, this mash of genres that for me really did it.
Yeah.
Because it's, I think we've talked about this before, but if not, I personally feel like any drama should have at least a bit of comedy in it, and any comedy should have a bit of drama in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have purely drama or purely comedy, it's a flat film. It's lacking.
Yeah.
And there's no reason you can't have a dramatic movie that has genuine little nuggets of comedy in it, because it's still satisfying. If anything, it heightens the drama around it.
This is absurdly funny, I feel. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's a lot funnier than Thunder Road, but this is that thing of it takes... We say this a lot, that thing of horror being hilarious when you tweak it right.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The drama and even the way he responds to the drama of his life, like him slipping and falling into the oven is, like, horrific, but there's an element of, like, slapstick pushed to its absolute limit in this, but just the way he like walks, the way he's like walking around, that whole scene where he's yelling to tell, like trying to get rid of the media, yelling at all the different people as he's yelling out instructions, and then just goes off and punches a cop in the face. Like, all the set pieces are very like slapsticky and ridiculous and very fun. And like I said, there's a great sequence of that is the scene where he learns that his dad's got a heart murmur, so he's not doing well. That whole thing is played for laughs. But the consequences of that scene are really serious, because it means that his dad's not doing so well. His dad has to retire. The pressure on him to look after his dad and solve the case to make sure his dad doesn't have a heart attack and die is so, like, front of his mind. It makes sense that he makes mistakes and fucks up.
And also, there's that pressure on him because he probably feels like he's the one that's going to take over his dad's job. So there's, like, the pressure is cooking him. This is a lot funnier than Thunder Road. Thunder Road, I think it's because... this one's got that separation by being a genre piece where things are just a little bit more heightened and you can kind of have a laugh a little bit more. Thunder Road just felt, it's painfully real in a lot of scenes.
Okay.
And heartbreakingly real, whereas this is just like one step removed because there's the threat of a monster and you're just like, oh, okay.
Of a werewolf. Yeah.
And you've got like just a sort of classic small town cops who... most of them are a little bit shit at their job and don't really care. Like, they immediately want to palm it off to the state police or whatever, the FBI. You know. And for Jim's character, he's like, no, because for him it's a career, whereas for them it's just a job.
Yeah.
Just something they do and then they clock off and have a beer.
Exactly,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, well, were we scared?
Not particularly. Maybe in the early stages, that when the girl dies at the start, there's like it's a lot of moments of tension in it.
Yeah.
Any of the wolf moments are quite tense, but nothing particularly scary. Were there jump scares? I don't really remember many jump scares.
Not on top of my head. There's that one of the scariest sequences is the third murder with the kid and the mum, where there's the deer in the middle of the road and she gets out of the car and you're like, fuck, don't get out of the car. Yeah.
And having the kid in the back seat, you're like, hold on.
Yeah.
Kill the women, sure.
Yeah.
Don't kill the kid.
Yeah.
Well, I had a moment last night. So I don't know if you boys know, last night was a full moon. And I know this because I took a photo of it. There was this, the moon was gorgeous. So I tried to take a photo of it. And then last night, so Holly, my wife, sometimes gets night terrors. And so last night, during the full moon, at some point during the night, she starts making these sounds that are somewhere between like a groan and a scream.
Oh, no.
And I've experienced this with her before because she's, yeah, it's happened in the past. And basically, I've learned that the best thing for me to do is actually nothing. Mm. If I actually try to comfort her and wake her up in that moment, she's genuinely terrified. She'll probably start crying. And I've kind of got to give her a hug and because it's all too real, it's still very much she's in the moment of it.
Yep.
So the thing I have to do is actually just let her keep sleeping and then she'll wake up in the morning and kind of not even really be that aware of it.
Yep.
Yep.
So instead, I just lie there next to her while she screams in her sleep. Oh,
Damo.
And it lasted ages. And anyway, I was while this was happening, I'm thinking, I think I'm going to tell the boys about this tomorrow.
Have you got some noise-canceling headphones?
I have rain sounds. So I usually put rain sounds on during the night, which usually does the trick. But she was when she's screaming, it doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah man. It cuts through the rain, the gentle rain sounds. Yeah,
it does. And then she even woke up you know, sometimes when you wake up in the middle of the night and you were just drenched in sweat and you don't know why. So she even woke up. She actually woke up maybe 20, 30 minutes after I heard her scream and she was just drenched in sweat. I'm like, oh, you're a werewolf, my love. Like, you need to get this sorted.
You're going to start eating people and hopefully it's not me first.
Yeah.
We actually we went to the drive-ins the other night, the cinema, I think it's the first time it's been open for probably 6 or 7 months. And we saw two. We saw Scream, but before we watched Scream, we watched Hocus Pocus. Have you guys seen that old one?
Yeah.
It's a classic. Yeah. But in that, we looked out the window and it was a full moon. The clouds moved and there's a full moon. And then at the exact moment in the movie, one of the characters is like, oh, full moon. Werewolves are coming out. And I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Well, apparently this year was one of the first times in a few years where Halloween has actually had a full moon fall on it. Mm. And I think there's actually were two full moons in October because of the way the calendar worked out.
Yeah, okay.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of that.
Oh, man.
No, not a fan of that. Can you please also, Sean, share with us who turned up for the screening of Scream?
Oh, fucking carload of people wearing the mask.
Oh, no. And a drive. No.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Didn't need that.
Did not like that. Ugh. It was too rowdy at the drive-in.
Could you see any tongues just poking through?
No, there was enough tongues on screen. It was, again,
did you just call out, you don't know who you're messing with. This is one of the tongue boys over here.
I'd forgotten the tongue boys.
All right. Well, did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
I mean, I think he does act foolishly, but
he definitely does in just his personal life at the very least.
I think he's limited by A, the fact that he doesn't believe in werewolves, and B, the resources around him. But I like not all the characters. So, is it Julia, the other officer?
Yeah.
She acts a lot wiser than he does, but she's hamstrung by the fact that he's in charge and he's off his fucking head.
Yeah, for sure.
And also everyone in town hates him. So no one's like, there's that great sequence where she, the corner store, the guy's putting up the lettering, being like, coming, we're all scared. And she's like, can you not put it up there? And he's just like, oh, the boss, Derek, you know, he tells me what the letters are. I just put them up. So I can't take him down. She's like, yeah, but you know, it's a bit, you could even just take down the last two. He's like, yeah, nah, look, Derek writes it out. I just put him up. And then you get that throwaway line of it being like, is that your car? Man, those plates are expired. I'll just take them down. I don't think Derek will mind. Like, she's so competent and she's doing so much good work to try to get the community to support the police force in his investigation.
Yeah.
And he's ruining it all by the fact that they're not able to apprehend anyone. And also, he's a dick.
Yeah.
That other great scene when he goes to AA and he picks, is it Glenn?
Yeah, I think so. Just and Glenn's wife.
I'm sorry. Last time I was here, I said some hateful things about Glenn and his wife.
He's actually, there's moments in this movie where you're like, you shouldn't have your job. Like, what about when he falls asleep at the library and the librarian tries to wake him up and Jim nearly kills him?
Yeah. Oh, and then he says to him as he's leaving, he's like, you know, next time, not me, but next time some of my colleagues, if you're ever sneaking up on a police officer in a library, you might get shot.
Yeah. Well, did he say something like, if they're sleeping in the spooky section, you might get shot? Like, he even goes like, hey, I'm in the spooky section. That's clearly a bad idea.
What about that great line when he's with her in the car and he's just like, it's something to do with like, he's just outraged. He's like, do you reckon women have had a really rough time of it throughout history? And she's just like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, he's so bloody clueless.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, yeah, he probably, I think, for the most part, not wise. Like, he is trying to do his job. Like, that's that's where a lot of the pressure comes from. He's actually putting on himself because he wants to be great at it, but he's not great. Like we kind of said, he does get better over the course of the movie, and she definitely is acting wisely. She's an awesome, Julia is an awesome
yep.
cop, and it is good to see her slowly putting the clues together in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, it's tricky because you've got to have them buy into a werewolf, but even if they do, it's not a werewolf.
Mm.
So I think they do the best they can. I mean, the other officers don't believe in it and are ineffectual. Like, one of them is literally like, nah, I'm not doing anything. Yeah. He ends up dead, so...
Yes,
that's true. I think they act as wise as you possibly can
mm.
in the circumstances.
In this thing where, all the evidence is pointing to a werewolf, but you're like, well, no, it's definitely not a werewolf. It's just some nutter out there, yeah.
Oh, and on the nutter out there, too, that we're saying before, scary sequences. That scene where he leaves the house... And then he, just at the last minute, because the guy says something, a detail about the case that no one knows.
Mm-hmm.
And then he realizes that, goes back, and he's like, this is going to seem really weird, but could you please stand at your full height?
Yes.
And just him slowly standing up taller and taller and taller. And he's like, ah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
That was good. I like that reveal of the height, because I hadn't clued in on that, that of course we know that this guy's really tall. And meanwhile, throughout his house, this guy's been a bit hunched or sitting the whole time. So that was great. The one thing I thought there that wasn't smart is like, why would he, if he thought maybe this is the guy, this guy doesn't have any inkling that he's onto him. Shouldn't he have waited and got more backup or something and then gone charging in?
I mean, he's an idiot.
Yeah, fair. All right. Well, then how would we do? So I guess in this scenario, we're in the police force somehow, which seems... ludicrous, but anyway, let's stick with it. So where?
I mean, if that guy can be a cop, we can.
Well, that's
a cop.
True. Like, look at some of the others.
If John Marshall can be a cop, when he absolutely does not have the temperament to be a police officer.
We've just got to buy Jim gift baskets.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't work, Sean. You still get fired.
Ah, damn it! Did he keep the gift basket? Dog.
All right. Well, let's say for our scenario that not only do we have to help solve, I think we need to be Ricky Lindholm, where we have to solve this case. And we have to put up with Jim Cummings as being a complete tosser throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
I feel like that feels like the stakes are high.
I think we're in trouble, boys. Mm. And let me tell you why. Our greatest strength on this show is our greatest weakness in this scenario, in that we immediately believe it's a werewolf. So we approach the situation and we're wrong.
And we get fired.
Yeah.
And we get fired.
Yeah, we always say, oh, we believe straight away so we can get on with solving the problem.
Yep.
But we would believe the werewolf thing and be... completely in the wrong direction.
So we have to hand in our badges and then try and save the day as ex-cops?
Go renegade, boys.
I mean, Big Jim has to go renegade. He loses his cop license. So I think, yeah, maybe the four of us are just trying to keep him on the tracks and from not losing control.
Yeah, we're not solving a mystery at all. We're just like trying to make sure he's not losing his fucking mind.
Yeah.
So do we become private investigators and Jim's our boss? Yes. We've all been fired.
Yeah, I like that.
No, we start the firm and then when he gets fired as well, we ask him if he wants to join us because we're worried about him and we want to support him. And he does that emotional thing that he does in the movie where he's trying to say thank you, but he can't. He doesn't know how.
Yeah.
But then I think then we might die because I think we approach it as though we're facing down a werewolf. So we try to hit him with like silver candlestick. He's just a man and he kills us.
Yeah. Well, that's my original thinking was like, oh, we'll be safe because this guy, this serial killer basically just has a thing with women like a lot of gross serial killers do. And we're not women, so, okay, well, at least our main goal is to solve the case, but we're not actually in any danger, except for the fact that, no, once the police get close enough, there is that one he, like, decapitates and puts in a bin or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that could be us. We could be the bin boys.
Do we have to trap him?
Look, probably.
Do we have to dress Tom in a wig, dangle him in the middle of the street?
Yeah.
And then Damo and I... get a good vantage point, and then take down the beast.
Ooh. But are we approaching it like he's still a werewolf? So we're trying to get him with werewolf tactics, and he's just a man.
We're off trying to get silver bullets.
But say we use werewolf tactics. Yeah, we've got silver bullets. Yeah. Like a silver bullet is going to kill a man and a werewolf.
Imagine if it did it, though. Imagine if silver bullet, like human beings were immune to silver bullets.
No, look, I reckon you're right. If through our PI work, the four of us, including Big Jim, managed to actually get on his trail and corner him, and we had guns, even if they had silver bullets, Well, we're dumb enough to be able to point a gun in the right direction and pull the trigger. So
we'd corner the werewolf and all aim at him and all miss and hit each other. So we all die.
I mean, I was thinking like, we'll piss our pants, but we'll hopefully at least hit him.
Yeah, I think it'd take us a long time. I think in our version of the movie, we're so preoccupied with helping Jim that he maybe doesn't return the stuff to people. So it's actually Julia who works out that this guy's a normal man. So we're off in the woods trekking wolves.
Yeah.
And you know, we come back to town and be like, we found evidence of a really big wolf, and it's like, oh, we got him. It was the taxidermist. We've been out in the woods for like 5 days.
They're like, where's Jim? And we're like, got eaten by wolves.
Yeah. We've eaten him. We
we ate Jim.
I think this is the first time on this show we've just had zero impact on the actual story on the actual storyline.
Yeah.
Like, not even that, like, normally, like, we at least die or in some way, but this time, no, that hasn't even happened. We're just in the background.
This is a bit like the Raiders of the Lost Ark thing, where Indiana Jones has no bearing on the outcome.
Yeah.
We are
correct. Indy. The Nazis still die.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, generally, we get kicked off the force because we become so obsessed with the werewolf angle. We then end up in the woods looking for werewolves.
Yeah.
So we don't even hear about the junkie getting arrested because we're off in the woods. And then they eventually catch the taxidermist because they get the picker.
Yeah. I think you're right. The best thing we can do for this scenario is get us and Jim out of the way.
Yeah.
That's the best thing we can do.
It's Operation Keep Jim Sober and
Safe. Jim is the thing that is preventing this from running smoothly. So we do Julia a favor by getting him out of there.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh no, here we go. Here we go. Boys, we start committing petty crimes.
To keep Jim occupied.
Jim occupied. He can't focus on the murder case. Mm. And his dad, the sheriff's like, no, you're out of control. Just go get a win. Go solve these weird robberies at the library.
We basically turn into Scooby-Doo villains.
Yeah. Dressed as werewolves. So he follows us on his fake trail because he's doing that. Meanwhile, allowing Julia to actually solve the proper murder mystery.
Great.
Yeah, that's good. So we're the werewolf brothers
and
we're dressed as werewolves and we basically lead Jim out into the mountains and distract him
while the real
cop does the job.
And then when he like unmasks us all and he's like, I've got you, we sit down and we're like, John, this is an intervention.
Oh, fantastic. Well, on that note, that is all the scaredy talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you scaredy listeners have any comments, would like to say hi, tell us how you'd beat a werewolf, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at scaredyboys or individually, I'm at MiddayPajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
And I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.